Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for July 25th, 2008. This week, from malaria to mold to amoebic dysentery, there's no end of fun microorganisms that can ruin your day. We'll tell you about a project that's testing the mosquito repellents of the future, and we'll answer a listener's question about the dangers of household mold. But first, if you want to find out which nasty bugs plagued people in the past, you have to dig up their latrines. Suzanne's going to tell us about that.
That's right. You see, during the Crusades of medieval Europe, soldiers didn't just die by the sword. Starvation and diseases like scurvy, typhoid, and amoebic dysentery also claimed lives by the droves. Piers Mitchell of Imperial College London is an expert on this. He's a paleopathologist and studies the spread of diseases through history.
The actual experience of going on a crusade was quite a harrowing one. We've done some math by looking at various different medieval chronicles, and we've found that perhaps 15 to 20% of people on a crusade lasting 2 or 3 years would have died from infectious diseases and malnutrition. And perhaps another 15 to 20% would have died from weapon injuries, be it sword wounds, arrow wounds, or whatever. And so there was perhaps not quite a 50-50 chance, but nearly that, that you wouldn't make it home alive from some of these big expeditions.
Mitchell says historical records from the Crusades documented soldiers suffering from amoebic dysentery.
The particular example of dysentery is a very interesting one from the point of view of Crusades, because dysentery is spread by contaminated drinking water. And if you are in a siege situation and it's going to be dangerous to go out and get clean water from a stream or river, you may well end up drinking contaminated water.
He and his colleagues recently sampled two medieval latrines in ruins near Jerusalem. They tested for parasites using antibodies for several types of amoebic dysentery.
It's important to know what the organisms were because it helps us to understand how these diseases spread around the world during human development and evolution.
In a latrine that was used by the Crusaders, they identified two types of bacteria that caused the malady. But these same bacteria were absent from a latrine used by local residents. The Crusaders may have been more susceptible because of the unsanitary conditions of the battlefield, the distance to medical care, and the stress of being in a strange land. He adds that diseases may have influenced the outcome of wars throughout history.
It's useful to know how these diseases actually had effects on the battles that were taking place, because it helps us to understand military history as well, if we can understand how health affected the outcomes of different military activities, when people decided to give up from a siege, when they withdrew, so on like this.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Well, modern warfare sees its share of disease, too. Malaria is a serious health concern for military personnel working in tropical areas. To fight malaria and other mosquito-borne illnesses, the U.S. military developed DEET back in 1957. But DEET is sticky, has an unpleasant odor, only lasts for so long, and also melts plastic. Research chemist Ulrich Brunier of the USDA's Agricultural Research Service and his colleagues recently searched through 60 years of chemical data from which they synthesized 34 promising new repellents.
When we tested these chemicals in the laboratory, just about every volunteer indicated that there was no offensive odor.
What's more, 23 of these compounds were just as effective as DEET, and some of them lasted more than 3 times as long. Next, Suzanne's going to answer a question about other pesky microbes, molds, growing in your basement.
This storm season has resulted in a lot of moldy basements. So listener Peggy of Mobile, Alabama, wrote to ask if household mold really poses a health risk. We turn to Mike McGinnis, a medical mycologist at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. He says some types of mold do produce toxins and allergic reactions, like rashes and runny noses. But he stresses that illnesses due to mold primarily affect people with compromised immune systems.
In most instances, there's probably no real problem. When there are symptoms which are thought to be associated with the mold, it probably is very wise to go ahead and leave the house for a period of time and see whether or not the symptoms disappear or not.
He adds that establishing household mold as the cause of a person's ill health is difficult, in part because the same mold that grows in houses also thrives outdoors.
The symptoms are basically the same. So that again creates the real problem of how do you decide if the mold growing in a home versus what is outside is causing the allergic response.
McGinnis says mold growth is a symptom of an underlying moisture problem in the home, and homeowners should get to the bottom of it so the mold doesn't come back. That could mean repairing a leaky roof or broken pipe, or installing new gutters or a drainage system if flooding has occurred. He adds that surface mold is easily removed from many items with a bleach solution, so there's no need to throw away treasured family heirlooms if they get moldy.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll have more stories about health, from the life-saving powers of stinky hydrogen sulfide to how side effects could inspire new medicines. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. Get your daily dose of science every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.